Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him. Hey, ladies, I'm sorry, he's not single, but Chief Ralph Ornelas, he's
formerly...
Hey, I'm taking. I didn't say you were single. And stop holding your phone number up there for people to call you. But anyhow, he's a retired police chief from California, and formerly worked at the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. I don't know why they don't call it office. It's a department, not an office.
They changed that years and years ago.
All right, they got to be different out there. But anyhow, thanks for being on the show, Chief. Appreciate it. And also, shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring the show to you. Our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, Compliant Technologies. You know, they're our satellite sponsor at ComplianTechnologies.com. And thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. Then Arrow Precision USA, our arm sponsor. We've got GunLearn.com, Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, right now, this very moment, we're streaming to over 1 million followers on social media. Well, that million plus, that's just on Facebook, not to mention all the other outlets that we're streaming to. Also, twobells.com, they built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. So if you guys want to get some cool gear, and we're not making any money on it at all, the prices are just dirt cheap. Check it out. Our website, leoroundtable.com. We have the online store. Check it out. It was built by Two Bells. And also fishorlandobass.com. You know, Zach has got a bass fishing charter. And guess where it is, guys? It's in Orlando. And so if your brain's thinking, if you're on your A game, you're thinking, well, wow, I got to go to Orlando. Why do you have to go to Orlando? Because you got to take the wife and the kids, or the grandkids, to Disney, right? And what do you always say when you're pulling the parking lot? Man, I really don't want to do this. Well, now you have options, right, Ralph? So all you got to do, drop the wife and the kids, the grandkids, off at Disney. Let them go have a great time. Give them the money and the funding to do that. And you go hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, you can do the alligator hunting. Yeah, you heard that right. I'm talking about the Florida alligator. You can go hunting with Zach, and you're not killing the alligator, but you're catching and relocating the alligator, because we do have a bit of an alligator problem here in Florida. And I walk out my front door, there's an alligator. You know, you leave your garage door open, alligator's gonna come in. Yeah, they're everywhere. But anyhow, there's really one to a body of water, one to a pond, lake, you know. So we have to relocate them every once in a while. So yeah, hook up with Zach at fishorlandobass.com. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also Travis Shades with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And I'm gonna go back to our conversation that we had before the show went live. So Chief Ralph and I were talking. I made a comment about being a lowly detective, and I didn't want him to take it the wrong. I am not complaining, because I passed the opportunity to make rank because I was doing such great work as a detective. And I mean, I was able to do things that most guys in their career would never have the opportunity to do. I ran an undercover storefront that was set up by the FBI. And I did it for almost 2 years, and running a RICO operation and doing money laundering for escort services and all that stuff. And then I got to do organized crime, public corruption, and adult entertainment in Tampa. So I was really doing some great work. And when my boss, who used to be my partner, who's now the mayor, came to me and said, "Hey, I want you to take the test to become sergeant and go." And I told her, I said, you know, frankly, I said, "I'm sorry, but I don't want to leave my job. And I'm making such a difference with doing what I'm doing. And if I become a sergeant, you know, I'm going to end up getting, I mean, my shift wasn't great. I was working nights and stuff, because I was working in clubs and all this kind of stuff. But I said, I'm just not going to have the impact. And you know, I mean, I was getting kids back in the home because mom was calling me up. I got dads calling me because their wives are out stripping, you know, or, you know, dancing and stuff. And they're on drugs, you know, because most of the chicks that do that kind of work, they need to, you know, to alleviate some of the standards that they have in order to be able to take their clothes off and stuff. So they're doing drugs and stuff. So I was able to keep families together, put them back together. It was great.
So the reason I said this before we went on the air was this. When you said lowly lieutenant, no. And I say this to the audience, and I say it directly to you, Chip. You look at law enforcement, the 650,000 law enforcement we have across the country, 2% make the rank of lieutenant. So just think about the people you are with, 2%. So when you make that rank lieutenant like I did years and years ago, that's a very, very difficult accomplishment in any organization. And you got to be proud of that. So I just addressed, I'm proud of you. You know, we got to know each other on this radio show. Don't use that verbiage, because you earned it and you deserved it. And you built that resume up that you present here. Hey, kudos.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, getting people on the show and stuff, I always brag about having people that are a lot more important and more famous than I am on my show, which is true, you know, because, you know, you really, it makes me look good. You guys make me look good. I mean, make me look good. And don't believe me even though I don't have rank, I understand that it says a lot that I'm able to get people with rank on my show, because I have something extra to be able to offer. Yeah, to make that happen.
You got the street cred.
Yeah, so I'm not discounting my ability, but I am a lowly detective, but I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of being a detective and doing what I did. And I'm glad I stayed where I wouldn't have redone my career any other way. I'm so glad that I did it the way I did it. So if that makes sense.
You know, Chip, I'll tell you this: being a lieutenant for 9 years and working in other countries where in my department, nobody had the opportunity to do it. To me, that was the most rewarding time working with my investigators from the gang unit, street gangs, GANGS. And I know my New York accent gets in the way sometimes with you. But, you know, that was the most rewarding time of my career.
You know, I was the gang corporal for a very brief period. And I'll tell you, I had a female on that squad. Well, I had two females on the squad, but dude, I knew then that I didn't want to be a corporal on the gang unit, and just all the drama and all the, you know, and I retired as a corporal, but I was with the police union doing union stuff. So that was really not a typical corporal job, you know, but I enjoy being a detective, you know, supervising and disciplining people and all that stuff. That just, I didn't really enjoy it that much, you know, and being challenged by, because, you know, when you're a corp, you know, you're going to be a corporal over people that have more time on than you, you know, or think they know more than you. And yeah, there's always that drama. I at least back in my day when I worked unsupervised. It was a beautiful thing. They trusted me and I could go out and do my thing. And I appreciate it, but I let people know what I was doing. But man, I met with the one-on-one with the mayor, one-on-one with the city attorney, my relationships, and I would advise these people on what I was doing. I never asked for permission to do anything. I told them what I was doing, and that was the relationship we had. So I was very blessed with having that capability. I don't know that they do that today. I know a lot of agencies don't do that, but it's that's kind of cool. So
yeah. Well, listen, man, I'm as I say to you before, I'm honored to be here on the show. It's great conversing with you and your audience, and also getting a chance to meet other people on your show, like Scott, who is a Green Beret, and Jeff and Brett and Dr. Joel. You know, I mean,
Joel Schultz. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been great.
It's always funny when you talk to Scott Steyer, you know, a bona fide badass, you know, not just Green Beret, but Delta Force.
Right.
And he, when he talks about his background, he says, yeah, you know, I was a mechanic, you know, in the Army, and I worked on, you know, tanks and stuff. And then I eventually, you know, became a Green Beret, you know, Special Forces, you know, but and he doesn't talk about the Delta Force and all that stuff. And I'm like, dude, what do you do? I said, just say you were a Green Beret and Delta Force. You know, I heard the whole story from him, and he kind of you know, dances around it, you know, but the guy's so humble. It's ridiculous, you know, and,
I admire men like that, or women like that, who've been in Delta, or, you know, SEAL, Navy SEALs, or, you know, and I have a former recruit who was a Navy SEAL that I put him through the academy. I still see him here in Huntington Beach. I got to tell you something, Chip, the most humble person you ever meet, and never brags about anything he did. And I got to tell you something, you respect those people like Scott and this individual I just mentioned.
I agree. Well, guys, hey, we haven't even mentioned what we're going to be talking about today. And so, and Chief Ralph did some research, and he's got the scoop on a story too. And I'll let you break that. But we've got a mother of four killed after wrong house mix-up. Indiana homeowner ends up getting charged in that. We had another story similar to that we covered very recently. I think it was early this week. I just want to cover that so people think before they do something stupid that's going to end up, you know, get in jail. And this is involving having guns. And then we got a, this is the one that, that the chief is going to give us some scoop on. 173-mile California pursuit ends with the driver crossing the Mexican border and ends up in Mexico. It's a female. Listen to that story. Then we got a body cam shows an Akron police officer shooting an unarmed guy, unarmed, after a 911 call stating that he was armed with a gun. So caller said the dude was armed, but when they shot him, he wasn't. An interesting story. Nashville police officers, plural, fatally shoot a suspect who claims to have a gun near a bus station. So we have another unarmed man getting shot. And, man, I'm looking at the clock. It's flashing. It's time for our first commercial break. So, guys, look, I'm starting the music. We're going to be covering these stories in a second. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. And, you know, whenever we're going to buy gear, guys, we have a lot of different choices, right? And then when you throw the online mix, it's almost limitless. But I want to remind everybody about really what's most important here, supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Galls at Galls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. So I want to encourage everybody to support Galls. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please go to our title sponsor at Galls at Galls.com. And for the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to do you one better. They've got a radio code that I'm going to give you guys in order to get 15% off your next order. Radio 15. That is it. Type in radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Galls.com. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're giving away one today. So hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with the new Galls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Galls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And if you haven't checked them out, please do. And, you know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those in the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. And their EcoProtect nitrile gloves, they actually offer four-hour fentanyl and xylene protection. And I'm sure Chief Ralph appreciates that, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And, yeah, we're not done. They continue to kill for up to 28 days, keeping you and helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas all the way from sunny California. Well, it may not. Is it sunny or is it raining still, Chief?
It's partly cloudy. It's going to rain later on.
All right. But we're just talking about bad. Sometimes, you know, you may get written up or get in trouble for doing the right thing. And so we were just telling some stories and stuff. But that case I was telling you about, Chief, where I got in trouble. I got written up for that. My supervisor thought I was being insubordinate. And arguably, I have to admit, I was because I leaked a search warrant to the DEA because I wanted to make sure that this killer did not get away, which was what was happening. And so they approached my agency with a search warrant that I had written. And in my agency, I got written up because I did not break out because I did that. But because the DEA came to them with my search warrant, they were forced to assist the DEA, and they ended up doing, I think it was three or four search warrants on this bad guy's house. And his name is Stephen Lorenzo, serial killer. And he's in jail now. And his accomplice, Scott Schweikert, is in prison too. And they killed they confirmed, I think they killed a lot more, but we know they killed, two gay guys and dismembered the bodies and distributed them in dumpsters, church dumpsters all over the city of Tampa and stuff. So the right thing ended up happening. So.
Well, I commend you for your work, and I'll just share a real brief story. I got 7 days suspension as a lieutenant, standing up for my captain in front of a chief and a commander, and I wore that as a badge of honor.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, Rudy McFarland, an IA guy, got written up, and he had the write up. He had the write up and framed on his wall. Sometimes. I'm going to get political just for 1 second. If I was Trump, I would have shown up my first day at the White House, wearing my my prison, my orange, you know, jumpsuit, you know, my first day, you know, sometimes, you know, that mugshot, which actually helped them out. Sometimes those things are just a badge of honor that you need to embrace. You know, some people get wigged out over bad things happening. Sometimes, you know, you just have to look at it, the perspective, a little differently. So,
yeah, I agree.
So before we went to commercial break and that snuck up on us, we were talking about the stories that we're going to be covering. We have a Nashville police officers. They fatally shoot a suspect who claimed to have a gun at a bus station. I think I mentioned that guy was not armed as well. Autopsy reveals a rapper shot 17 times in the back by an off-duty cop in Georgia. There's some questions about that. We'll talk about that. Cause shooting someone in the back is not necessarily, an unjustifiable thing. Wrongful death lawsuit filed against the Fort Wayne Police Department after a fatal shooting of a woman that had two knives, and also Salt Lake City officer fatally shoots a suspect who threw a rock at the officer. So assuming that we have time to get to all those, and if you want to take anything out of order, Chief, let me know. I'd like to start off with the main topic that we have. It's rvmnews.com is the source. Mother of four killed after a wrong house mix-up. Indiana homeowner ends up being charged. Yet again, we have another case of someone firing a shot through a freaking door. You know, I think it was Monday or Tuesday we covered a story where we had, I think it was four or five juveniles. Well, one of the kids, you know, one of them was technically an adult. He was 18 or 21, but the other ones were all juveniles. And they're breaking into a guy's garage. And the guy's inside the house and shoots through the door into the garage. And then he goes down and he's shooting at the kids as they run away. Well, he ends up killing one, and another one gets shot in the leg, and they arrested him. And he's trying to use a stand your ground defense. Well, this is somewhat similar. An Indiana homeowner has been charged with voluntary manslaughter after allegedly shooting and killing a mother of four who mistakenly arrived at the wrong house for a cleaning job. And this is according to the Boone County prosecutor. His name is Kent Eastwood, and he made this announcement on Monday. And it was reported by the New York Post. Now, here we go. Kurt Anderson, 62 years old. He's our shooter. Now, the way they make this thing sound, I thought this was some old dude. And I know some people watching the show, if you're younger, thinking, well, dude, he's 62, he's old. Well, let me tell you, as you get older, 62 doesn't sound that old anymore, you know. But really, I know 60 and 70 plus year olds that are just, I know 80 year olds that are just super sharp. But anyhow, when you hear the story, just remember that this dude's only 62. He's really not even at, you know, arguably retirement age, right? So he ends up being arrested and booked on one count of voluntary manslaughter connection with this killing that happened on November the 5th. And he killed a 32-year-old mother, Maria Florinda Rios Perez, in a place called Whitestown. It's a suburb near Indianapolis. So Eastwood said that the prosecutor said the decision followed a comprehensive evaluation of the evidence in Indiana's self-defense laws. And that in that review, they said that his actions are not protected under the state's stand your ground statute. Now, Perez and her husband, Mauricio Velasquez, they had a housekeeping business, and they were given the keys for a cleaning job, and they thought that it was a model home. So they checked the address twice on a map, and they circled the neighborhood, and then they approached this residence that's in Whitestown. Now, as Perez inserts the keys into the lock, a single bullet is fired through the closed front door, and it hits her in the freaking head. Now, according to the court documents cited by WTHR, the Whitestown Metropolitan Police, they get there, large pool of blood on the porch. Perez, the female, is pronounced dead at the scene. Golly, a single shot to the head. Police said the front door was never open. And the captain, John Jerkish, he said the fatal shot was fired from inside the home. Officers found Velasquez's, her husband, kneeling beside his wife's body. Court documents say that Anderson told investigators that he woke up after only a few hours of sleep. He heard what he described as commotion at the front door. He said the noises intensified and sounded like someone's using a key tool or instrument to, on the lock. And so he said that he got frightened. This dude's only 62. He got scared, got a gun from a safe room, loads it, and then fires a single shot from the top of the freaking stairs. Are you kidding me? And after the shooting, he tells his wife to call 911. And Velasquez, the surviving husband, told police that his wife had only been trying the keys for about 30 seconds, you know, in the lock to 1 minute before the gunshot happened. And they have four children between the ages of 11 months, less than a year, and 17 years old. And of course, Eastwood, the prosecutor, said that Anderson is already being held without bond and they're waiting for the court hearing and the investigation is still ongoing. So when we come back on commercial break, we're going to talk about that. But not a pretty story. Please, people, if you ever learn anything from this show, please learn from this story. It may help someone stay out of the grease. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision at arrowprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of the chief's favorite topics, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision, they demand perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit arrowprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at arrowprecisionusa.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of the primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to arrowprecisionusa.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas, all the way from California. And he was just holding up the On Thin Ice book that was written by, you know, our panelist, Lieutenant Jeff Weninger at onthinicebook.com, if you guys want to check it out. So Chief, before commercial break, we were just talking about a story where our, I'm not going to call him a bad guy, but we have a homeowner who's 62 years old. He says he was woken up. He's hearing some commotion on the outside of his front door. And unbeknownst to him, it's a cleaning service that showed up at the wrong house. We don't know. They said they double checked the address, so we don't know who got the address wrong. And it doesn't really matter. But they're putting the key that they have in the lock, and it's not working. And he retrieves a gun, says that it was unloaded. He's got to load it, and he's at the top of the stairs. So he doesn't even go down to the door, converse or ask who it is or anything. From the stairs, he fires a single shot, goes through the door, hits the female mother of three or four kids, and her husband's with her, and hits her in the head, and she dies. Your thoughts on this? Yeah. And they're trying to use the stand your ground, too. So,
you know, Chip, in the audience, it's a tragedy on both sides. The Kurt Anderson, the shooter, the victim, Mrs. Perez, and the family of four. But I got to be honest with you, Mr. Anderson should have announced himself, I got a gun, get away from the door, or something like that to give them alert. Because you never know, how many times do we as officers go to the wrong address? You know, I mean, it happens. And you know, how many times people, maybe cleaners, I've seen in my community here, we have people that clean homes, go to a different address, made a mistake. So, yeah. You know, I believe the obligation on the part of Mr. Anderson is to announce himself. Hey, I got a gun. Who are you? Put the lights on. Put, you know, let some illumination and stuff to alert the people. Maybe they could see that, hey, I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah. I mean, look, we have, I'm not talking about my neighborhood, but, you know, I'm saying, but we have drunk people that go to the doors and stuff. So I before I said that, I'm thinking people are going to think that where you live, Chip, but, you know, but there's really videos and stuff, you know, people, they confuse things all the time. But look, if this guy is scared from someone rattling a door, trying to put it, you know, and let me educate the audience a little bit too. You know, you never pull the trigger, you know, well, let me be careful how I say that. You almost never pull the trigger on a gun unless you can see what you're shooting at.
Exactly.
That is, I mean, there are some scenarios that I can envision where that would happen, but that's only because, you know, and the chief could probably think of some too, but let me tell you, for the 99.9% of the time, you should never pull that trigger on a gun. And just, even if you know there's a threat on the other side of the door, well, number one, the door's not broken down. There is no threat. I mean, really, you're not going to be able to convince a jury or a prosecutor's office or a cop that there's a threat when someone's on the other side of the door. Now, if people are trying to kick in that door, I'm telling you that I'm not pulling that trigger until they breach that freaking door. And you know what? I want to see who I'm shooting at, because I don't know if they're holding a kid. I don't know if there's somebody, a kid riding his bike down the street behind them. I don't know what the backdrop is. There's so many things that can go wrong with that. You've got to be able to see what you're shooting at. And remember the search warrant, Breonna Taylor, where we had a cop shooting through a window and no one got injured, but he got jammed up for that too. You've got it. You know, the round, the bullet's going to go somewhere, and you've got to be, you got to be aware of that situation.
Well, you know, as you stated clearly, Chip, is this audience, there has to be a little more overt action by that lady or somebody that's coming into the home. You hear a crashing of glass or, you know, pushing the door open. But also, if you have the weapon in your, you have an obligation to remember reverence for life about what who are you going to shoot. Plus, the other thing on this, Chip, look at the, you stated when you described this incident, he went to his safe to get his gun. He loaded it up. A lot of time frame, a lot of time went by. So, you know, I'm sorry. I just think that he's going to get, as your words, he's going to get jammed up. And he did. And he got arrested for voluntary manslaughter, which is a serious charge.
Yeah, I support the charge.
I do too.
I wouldn't support a murder charge. The manslaughter charge is the perfect charge for this.
Absolutely.
And with being a firearm owner comes certain responsibilities.
Exactly.
And,
well
and
said.
I question this guy being a gun owner. He's maybe not the kind of guy that should own a gun. And another flag in that story, when they say that he woke up, that's a flag. It's almost like, okay, now I know I screwed up. So now I got to outlay things that will kind of like support me. And so here's what's going to come in court. I was confused. I wasn't thinking. I woke up from a dead sleep. I'm hearing the rattling just to get sympathy from the jury. I can already see it, him trying to pull that one off. The responsibility comes from owning a gun. Guys, know what you're doing. And the life is such a precious thing. You've got to be on your A game if you have a gun in your hand and you're going to be pulling that trigger.
And you know, Chip, not only in this incident, but some of the other incidents you sent me in the videos and stuff, I'm not sure we're going to have time. It also, the obligation on police officers shooting people, that determination could be justified. But also, guess what? You still took a life. And also, we have to dissect those incidents tactically, what we could have done better in these type of shootings.
I agree. Well, we got plenty more to cover. So, and guys, we are doing that free Gulls gift card giveaway. So again, if you haven't won in the last 90 days, all you have to do is type in the word Gulls, GALLS, and give us your email address so I can email that to you after the show. So look, our next story, this is the one, globalordnancenews.com, 173-mile California pursuit. It ends with the driver crossing into Mexico. I really cannot even fathom how someone, she's in a freaking minivan and maybe the chief can explain to me how they were unable. I know they tried a couple deployments of spike strips, but I'm just amazed that this happened. But anyhow, Los Angeles, which is, you know, the area where, you know, the chief used to work, it kind of starts off kind of cool in the annals of LA car chase lore, there were but a few ways for drivers to escape a police pursuit, especially one being broadcast live. So it was broadcast live on tape. But driving from Ventura County and into Mexico with police on your tail, it happened on Monday. So the driver behind the wheel of the minivan flees from police across four counties and speeding across freeways, evading CHIPS, you know, California Highway Patrol, until the suspect makes it across the border into Mexico. And they seemingly escaped, is what the article said. The chief's going to provide an update for us. Attempts to stop the vehicle using spike strips failed as the van continued to speed. It's a minivan. So really, is it really speeding? Is it really speeding, Chief? I mean, come on. What's the top speed? 63 miles an hour?
Maybe. With your feet out the door.
Yeah, with your feet out the door. It's speeding through Ventura, Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego, and these guys are pursuing this thing for over 2 hours. So the CHP started pursuing it after 11 o'clock in the morning because it was a stolen, they had reports of a stolen minivan from the Ventura County Sheriff's Office. It continued to make its way south on the 405 freeway. It got up to 80 miles an hour. They must have had a tailwind. At one point during the pursuit on the 405.
Downhill.
downhill. It was being broadcast live on local news. What an embarrassment for California Highway Patrol. A CHP officer standing behind a median in the middle of the freeway throws out a spike strip in the minivan's path. It's driving at freeway speeds, and the van in the number two lane next to the carpool lane, it swerves to the right, avoids the spike strips, and the chase continues. And then they did a second spike strip attempt. That failed. Before noon, the vehicle makes its way into Orange County and onto the five. Is still on the five freeway in Mission, Mission Viejo, I guess. How do you pronounce that?
Mission Viejo.
Viejo. Oh, okay. Well,
old Mission.
Okay. All right. I get it. So, units notified Customs and Border Patrol because now they're getting close to the port of entry. And anyhow, at 108, sure enough, she's nearing the border, and at 119, Sergeant Esteban Hernandez says that CHP units were canceled on State Route 905 because it was a public safety issue now, because now they're getting, people are backed up, you know, at the border. They don't want any crashes to happen. So the cancellation of this is normal for that kind of situation. By 124, officers were notified that the minivan and the driver were inside Mexico. And that's the way it ended. So Chief, I'll let you take it from here and provide the update.
Well, the update is this, audience and Chip, is that the lady got over to the border, was in Mexico, and later on she turned herself in, and she was arrested for, you know, stolen vehicle. But also she stole the vehicle. She was in a rehab location, had mental health issues. But also, I got to tell you this, Chip, in the audience, I believe at Ventura County Sheriff's, that was, they initiated the pursuit, as you stated. There's things they could have done initially. Maybe the watch committee didn't want an engagement. I don't know. You know, I don't know the decision-making. But also, the California Highway Patrol had a lot of distance between Ventura to Mexican border. Could have implemented maybe the pit at one time. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't there a time not too long ago where LAPD had a helicopter up and they were shooting rounds out of a helicopter? I know.
That's a long time ago.
Okay.
I remember it's a long time ago.
Wow. Yeah. It didn't end too well, though. But no. Yeah. Hey, it's time for our next commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. And the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. And if you do, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas, all the way from California. And Chief, I know we've been talking about the chick in the minivan that evaded law enforcement for over 2 hours on the freeway in California, drove through four counties all the way into Mexico, and you just broke the news that she turned herself in. And I'm kind of wondering why. I mean, I maybe they had her identified, you know, but they didn't have the vehicle because that ended up in Mexico. So interesting.
I don't know why, but she did. Maybe she needed to get back to rehab where she was supposed to be in Ventura. I don't know the justification of that or the reason for that, but I'm glad she turned herself.
Yeah, when I'm in California last week, I go into the restroom and they have a dispensary. It wasn't to get syringes; it was to put syringes safely away. And I'm just thinking, I was just looking for the vending machine that would allow me to get, you know, free syringes and stuff, because I know they have those too at certain locations. So
yeah, you know, Chip, not only that, but I lecture on fentanyl, the dangers of fentanyl. There are also dispensaries to get Narcan to buy, you know, to save lives. And I'll tell you another story. I'll speak really quickly like you do. There's a city in Orange County. They put on the park benches, Caloxidil. Caloxidil was a stronger, the reversed fentanyl poisoning, then Narcan has 8 milligrams instead of 4. They put the on the box on the boxes of Clozaril on bus benches because quite a few young people.
Really?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yep. Yep.
Well, if you're ready for our first story with a video component, we'll make the jump over to Rumble then. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Better. Body cam shows an Akron police officer shooting an unarmed man after a 911 call stating that the guy was armed.
Get your fucking hands out of your pocket. Stop where you are. Get your fucking hands out. Get your hands out. Get your hand out of your fucking pocket. Get the fuck on the ground right now. You're going to get shot. Get on the ground. You're going to get shot. Hey, get out of your pockets. Get out of your pockets.
Now, look, we got two stories where unarmed people are being shot back to back. So just have that in mind as I go through this. So Akron police officers, they get a call for a fight. It's 9:03 in the evening on November the 11th. So witnesses report that an intoxicated guy is pointing a semi-automatic handgun at multiple people in the parking lot. So pretty specific when they're telling what kind of gun it is, you know, that it's a semi-automatic. Now, when the officers arrive on the scene, they encounter an uncooperative individual, the male, and they're forced. Well, look, it's kind of, I don't like the way it's written. It says they're forced to make a split second decision to ensure their own safety and that of the community. So he almost acts like they made a mistake because they had to act so quickly that, you know, throw caution to the wind or whatever. But this is from the Akron Fraternal Order Police, the FOP. And according to the Akron mayor, Shamus Malik, the man did not have a gun on his person at the time of the encounter. He encountered officers, even though the caller reported that the dude was armed. And the guy is still alive. He's in the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. But going to my show notes, if you watch, you hear the female caller describing this guy very, I don't doubt her, very convincing, in the call. I think that she, legitimately, I believe everything that she said, that the guy was armed. And then you jump to the 4:54 mark as the officer arrives on the scene, getting out of his car. The guy's there, confronts the suspect, and the guy is uncooperative, and he doesn't want to show his hand. And then at 5:11, shots fired. The cop even does a mag change at 5:28. Suspect ended up being unarmed and unbelievably survived. So, Chief?
You know, Chip and the audience, number one, the RTO is talking to the female person that called in. The female person called in was very, very emotional that he's pointing a gun and stuff. Then in the background, if you listen, there's people laughing in the background. She even says there's former police officers in the bar with her. And then one of the people in the background says he doesn't have a gun. Okay, which, so this is very interesting. So then this is the part for me that I understand it's tense and the officers don't know what's going on. But why do officers in all these situations that you sent videos this yesterday, they all give up cover if a person had a weapon?
Yeah,
why give up cover? Speak to the people from the cover behind the engine block. Don't give up. And then also have less than lethal with you. And I mean, they expose themselves. They come out. Meanwhile, the guy's got his hand and they don't know what he's got. Maybe obviously got mental health issues, drug usage. And guess what? Shoot the guy. And you know, the thing about it, listen, is it going to be a justified shooting? Probably. I don't know what the end result is, the investigation. But my point to everyone in the audience is, to officers and people listening, don't give up cover on any situation and always have less than lethal with you, because anything that's going to be evaluated is going to be de-escalation of force this day and age with Barnes versus Felix. Yes, Grant, you have Graham versus Connor on your side, but they're always going to look. What preceded it? What did you do to mitigate this shooting?
Good point. Thanks, Chief. Hey, if you're ready for this next one, we're going to jump over to Nashville then.
Another shooting,
unarmed guy, Rumble.com. This is Better to the Channel. Nashville police officers fatally shoot a suspect who claimed to have a gun near a bus station.
Hey, get it out.
I have a gun.
Get it out.
I have a gun.
Get your hand out of your backpack.
I have a gun.
Hey, put the gun down, dude.
Get your hand out of your backpack.
Hey, put
Put the gun down, dude.
And so this is a little bit different because the bad guy is convincing Nashville, Tennessee. So the Nashville or Metro Police Department, they released this information. There's a 911 call and body cam video involving the incident. This guy is shot and killed by officers at the bus station on a Friday morning. So the incident happened near the Greyhound station in downtown at 6 o'clock in the morning. So they report the officers at the end of their overnight shift, which always is a flag for me because I'm always wondering, or why are they saying that? Are they trying to say the officers were like tired and maybe made a reason to make a mistake or whatever? But responded to the station after a 911 call from a man claiming to have a gun and feeling crazy. So the officers get there on the scene and they're immediately confronted by this guy. So in the video, the two officers, Maxwell and Uzunza, they order this guy to show his hands, but he continues walking towards the officers with his hands in a backpack saying, I have a gun. So that, and that was pretty convincing, right? And then all of a sudden, he takes his hand out very quickly and he starts running at them, but he's at a pretty close distance. And it's like one of those things where, I don't fault the officers at all. The officers open fire on this guy and he ends up dying. And it was convincing and it was close proximity. And that's the way it goes down. And we have two body cams on this as well. Chief Ralph.
Here we go again. I look at tactics, Chip, in the audience. So the one officer drives right by that there's an officer ready there ahead of time. The officer drives by and gets out of his car. Well, if you were the original officer there facing the suspect, I would have directed you to come behind me with your car, not go by. And if that guy had a weapon, like he said, in his backpack, he could have shot that officer going right by him.
No doubt.
So here we go again, tactics. And I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm trying to push out something to all of us got to be thinking and we got to be not ever giving up cover again. Yes, guy's running up on him. I'm not sure, Chip, was it shooting justified? Did they come up with it yet? Or the justification of that? I didn't see anything. But the point is this. Where's less than lethal? You could have coordinated before you get there. Hey, Maxwell, you get less than lethal. I'll have deadly force. And they coordinate the response and how are you going to approach a situation. Obviously, the guy said something. He's crazy. He's got some mental health issues. I think he said that. Yeah, I feel crazy. I'm feeling crazy, he said. So you ahead of time what you have in front of you.
No, I appreciate it, Chief. And you're absolutely right. I'm sure this is going to be justified. There's no doubt in my mind.
But I'm looking for the future from learning from this for that department.
There's always something can be taken and learned from any of these uses of force, and it's never pretty.
No,
but this was a suicide by cop, obviously, situation.
Yes.
And the guy got what he was looking for.
Yeah.
But had he had a gun, we could have had a dead one or two dead cops because he was
absolutely
that close and that fast. He had plenty of time to fire more than one round before, even though the cops had their weapons, drawn. It's a proven fact that he would have been able to get one or two rounds off, even if they had their guns drawn on him.
I agree with 110%, Chip. I do. I agree with you.
So, it's been, I can't believe, we're getting at the point where I'm already talking about the Wounded Blue, but it's been a great show, Chief. And thank you so much for, being on the show. I appreciate it. I do want to talk about the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So if you haven't checked out the Wounded Blue lately, please go to thewoundedblue.org and check them out. And also I'm going to announce our gift card winner and let me find him here. We have got Walter DiPietro, and I mentioned his name earlier. He entered the contest, and Walter, you've won the $50 Gold gift card giveaway. I have your email address, so I will get that off to you at the end of the show. And Chief, 5 seconds, your fentanyl. How can people get a hold of you for a fentanyl school?
Ralph Ornelas at iCloud.com. Thank you very much, and I thank you for having me on the show again, Chip. It's an honor.
I love it. Thank you. Hey, Gulls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn, MyMedicare, SafeguardRecruiting.com, Two Bells, and FisherLandOfBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.